on the offensive coaches. You know, yeah, we made mistakes and stuff, but that was a simple adjustment. That's why the offensive coordinator makes the money he makes, to make that adjustment. You know, all week I kept telling Jarvis I had no strength. I've been telling him all season. Mm-hmm. I had no faith in the offensive line. But this game was winnable. They should be on a two-game win streak by the end of next Saturday. You know, they'll probably come out flat next week. They'll beat Chattanooga, but they're going to look bad doing it. You know, this was a waste. This was a waste.
Wasted opportunity.
So high, it ain't funny.
Yeah, it was a wasted opportunity, Chuck.
Yeah, yep. And he's not going to fire his offensive coordinator, but he needs to. Somebody needs to pay the price for this.
It's just one game. I mean, I hate to say that. Russell, you think offensive coordinator should be fired?
No, I mean, like I said, you might have to make a move at the end of the season. I don't think you do it in the middle of the season. But
really?
Butch Jones needs to sit down with Bajakian and say, I know we're buddies. We've been together for a long time, and you hit the big time, so I brought you with me. And I don't want to make a change here, but right now you're not getting your job done, and you need to step it up and start producing, or at the end of the season I'm going to have to make a change, because I'm getting paid $3 million a year and I can't let you drag me down,
or any of us. Yeah, we're getting an opportunity here, Chuck. Finish us up here. Give me a final thought. You respond to Russell.
Russell's right. You're not gonna fire. You don't fire football coaches in the middle of the season unless it's something crazy. I mean, Michigan's gonna fire their coach at the end of the year, okay? Unless a trainer comes up and says, "I told him don't put that quarterback in because he had a concussion," they won't fire him till the end of the season. You're not gonna fire your buddy in the middle of the season. But if he doesn't step up, he's got to go. Because, like you said, Butch takes the heat too. More than anything else. You know, they got to regroup. They got Chattanooga. That should be a walk in the park. Scrubs should be playing by the third quarter. If they're not, then we got a problem. We got a problem. It's going to take an extra year. Because I had these guys trying to play for SEC championship next year. In my mind. This may put us back some.
They may. You can jump in there. Look at Mississippi State. They're jumping in there.
With Bajakian, guys, it's not so much people rip on the system and they don't like the zone read and stuff. I'm not so much down on the system as I'm just Bajakian's general feel for a game. You can win. I mean, there are plenty of teams that win playing that style of ball, but you've got to have a feel, a play calling feel, a sixth sense that you know when to run it and when to throw it.
Kind of like the guy at Texas A&M.
Or Chip Kelly, or Helfrich,
again,
or Sumlin.
Those guys all have great quarterbacks. Everybody you just mentioned. Think about it, Russell.
Yeah. And
Bino's right. They're trying to run that system, and they are just beating their head against the wall. With the pieces they have, they're not pieces for that system. They're not. It's like you have an overabundance of flour and salt, and you've decided you're going to bake a cake. You need sugar to bake a cake.
Well, I just don't think they play to their strengths.
That's my point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the first half, how many times did they run on first and 10 and get stuffed and they get behind the chains? And, you know, you come out and throw the ball, play to your strengths. Then when you've got a 9-0 lead late in the third quarter, when it's perfectly acceptable to be running the ball on first and 10, even when they know it's coming, you just want to sit on your 9-point lead and run clock. Then they start running, you know, play action passes that take long time to develop. Worley gets blowed up. He fumbles. And the floodgates are open.
It's tough to live with. It really is. It's tough to live with. Well, Chuck, I'm glad to hear you're doing well, buddy.
No, I'm not. I'll send you an email. It's not that good. I'll send you an email over the weekend.
But you sound good, brother. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. You guys take care.
Praise God.
Thanks, Chuck.
Good hearing from Chuck. Good friend of the program. 865-200-5402. Again, 865 200-5402 is our number. There has not been a dry line in the house all day here on your Smart Way. Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction. Back to the phones we go. Hello and welcome.
It's Tennessee Wolf. How you guys doing?
Hey, Wolfie.
I tell you what, that's a bad loss, guys. That was the team that we should have destroyed. I mean, when you look at the way that they had played before, Kentucky, watching that game, put 35 points on them, and we did this today. I'm not putting this on Worley, the line, nobody. Flat out, just terrible play calling.
We were not helped by what was done in the second half. You have a 9-0 lead. I mean, you got it. You got to reel it in. You have to reel it in.
You know, I felt like going back to the old Alabama days when they used to dominate us. When Johnny Majors was there, you know, we would light up the scoreboard until it got to that game, and then we'd go all conservative and end up losing the game, and that's what happened today.
It was extremely difficult to watch that, because the only route Florida had to win that game when it was 9-0 was us surrendering the game to them. It was the only chance they had.
Well, guys, let's go back to the past. Do you remember... What do you think eventually led to Fulmer's downfall? What was it? Remember that? 2008? What was it?
Refresh my memory. What was it?
The hiring of the offensive coordinator they brought in. So back to the present now. Butch Jones, I mean, I hope he really does well. I'm all for him still. Trust me, I'm not calling for his head or nothing like that. But he's going to have to do something about that offensive scheme and that offensive coordinator. They're going to have to get that in sync and get that right.
But wait a second. How do we know that till we figure out when he has all the parts? How do we know that?
That's something that's going to have to be determined too, I guess. But I tell you what, I was not very pleased with the play calling, and to me, that's just kind of a red flag about what's going on.
Well, Wolf, you're certainly entitled to your opinion, and I do appreciate your call, and I feel your frustration, man. But to you, I would say, let's wait and see when we get all the components how it's going to work.
Well, I agree with that, and you know, with Butch Jones, I hope he does well, and I'm willing to give him 4 years because Dooley put us so far down the hole.
No doubt.
And you know what? If you really look back at it, I can put this on Dooley too, because guess what? 2 years ago, he didn't even draft a lineman at all, so the curse of Dooley continues. See you guys.
Thank you. It's really true. And Jason Swain, you've played in this game. You've been a part of this. This Florida thing, these losses come in all shapes and sizes. Some of them are ugly. Some of them are close games that could go either way. Some of them are like today that just defy comprehension. Do you believe in the hex? Do you believe in that?
Nope. Not against these guys. I mean, I remember beating them 2 out of 4 years. I don't believe in the hex versus a certain team. I mean, I understand Tennessee was in a very bad spot with coaching and not enough talent, but now I feel like they have better coaching and they have better talent, and they let one slip out of their hands today. The table was set, Tony. You had Checker kneeling, and I really questioned if it was going to be able to be pulled off.
Me too.
Today, and the fans came out. They did their job. You had 200 plus recruits in attendance. You had 350 plus former players back. The table was set, and you know, our football team got up on the table and took a crap on the table. We didn't get it done today, and disappointing.
Swainy, where do you lay blame?
Oh, primarily, I mean, our offensive line. You can't give up 6 sacks. Justin Worley on one of those sacks, I mean, he's making the same mistakes. You know, Oklahoma, you didn't identify a rusher, and it resulted into a turnover. Same thing happened today. Georgia happened. I don't think he turned the football over when it happened, but so that mistake of recognizing who's blocked, who's not blocked, and getting rid of the football and not holding on to the football and turning the football over, that's something that Justin Worley needs to get better at. You know, you can't blame everything on the offensive line. That's a play that he has to make, but you know, I can blame a lot of people. I'm pissed off at everybody, to be honest, Tony. I'm pissed off the players, coaches, the ushers, the parking attendants, anyone who's wearing orange and blue. Like, I'm pissed off at everybody. Like, I'm upset because I feel like I played that football game. That's how I feel. I mean, a lot of former players, you know, after the game. You know, we felt like we lost.
You know who I hurt for? Are those defensive players that balled out today.
Yep.
They balled out, man.
Yep. Now I know how it feels, how the 2005 defense felt when we were on offense and we were stinking it up and they were playing lifestyle football and good enough to win and we were not doing our job and putting points on the board. You got to score a touchdown. You can't play a football game, not score a touchdown and expect to win. And the team who scored a touchdown won today.
That was a sickening loss. Let's go back to the phones. Jason Swain joining us, Swain Event. Check him out, swainevent.com online. You can hear him from 7 a.m. till 10 a.m. each weekday at 1180 a.m. and then online at swainevent.com. I encourage you to get his app as well because Swain's holding it down in the morning. My listening day goes as follows. I go Swain Event. And then I go to my guys over at RTI.com from 10 to 11. And then I'm forced to listen to my show from 11 to 1.
You funny, man.
And then I check out Dubsy in the afternoon. But let's go back to our phones. Who's on 94.3 in the afternoons from 3 until 6? And we've got another caller up with us here on the Smartway Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome.
Tony, what's going on, man? This is Jay. How you doing?
Hey, Jay, thanks for calling.
You know, it's no problem, Tony. You know, Tony, we talked Thursday, and I said, you know, I said, look, Tennessee fans are setting themselves up for failure because they're acting like Florida was Vanderbilt. And a lot of people were predicting Tennessee just to beat the brakes off Florida.
I said that
Tennessee doesn't have any talent advantage over Florida other than receiver. I said, other than that, Florida is more talented everywhere in quarterback. And I said, if they come in here and put it together, they're more than capable of winning this football game. And, you know, we have no offensive line. That's just the fact. You know, we got two freshmen who are 17 years old. You're missing two of your top three playmakers, which I said on Thursday. You know, you got a lot going against you. I mean, it can very well that you could lose this ball game. That doesn't mean that Coach Bush Jones is not going to be successful and not win a lot of ball games. But I said, and I said this, and you didn't believe me, but I said, if we lose this game, you watch how quickly fans turn. And you're hearing it right now on this radio. I've been listening to this for a while now. And you said, no, it ain't going to happen. And by God, it's happening. And this is why Tennessee can't have nice things. You know what I mean? Because our fans are constant. They're so impatient, and they can't just let the process happen. You know, Butch Jones hasn't even been here for 1.5 seasons, and now we're already talking about firing somebody. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Are you serious?
They're not talking about firing him. They're talking about the offensive coordinator, Swain.
Oh. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and sing Coach Bedakian's praises after today. I'm not taking up for him. I think he could have done a better job calling plays, but there's not a lot of plays in the playbook that you can call when you have an offensive line giving up six sacks and not being able to open up holes.
But you know what, Swain? But I'm going to go back to the guy you played for. He's running the ball and punting it back to them and not giving them a short field. He would not have let that happen if you'd have given him a 9-0 lead late in that third quarter. And you know that's true, Jason.
Absolutely. Like I said, I'm not.
That's mismanaged.
He did not call his best game. But to sit here and say that it's all on one person or it's all on another person, I don't think that's fair. I mean, that offensive line, they stunk it up today. And I'm just saying, there's not a lot of plays in the playbook. You know, people are like, hey, let's call this play. Let's do this. Let's do that. There's not a lot of play. You need offensive line blocking first and foremost before you can do anything. If you don't have that, you're handicapped on offense.
Exactly. And I couldn't agree with Jason more. I think fans, look, I understand this fall hurt. I mean, I haven't been this disappointed in a long time. I mean, I almost would have rather got blown out. I know that sounds crazy, but to lose like this is tough. But you got to understand what we're dealing with. You know, I mean, we don't have Josh Smith. We don't have Von Pearson. You know, Jalen gets hurt for a while. And you, I mean, it's like what Butch said. You got two guys on the right side that are 17 years old that were playing high school football last year. I mean, you got to look at it for what it is. You know, you can't run anything down the field because if you do, you're going to, Worley's getting sacked. Now, I don't like that Bajakian seems to go throw those sideline passes a little too much. I'd like to see some more quick slants, but I just urge UT fans to stay positive. I really feel Bush is going to get this thing turned around, and with just keep showing support, keep staying positive. Recruits will see that, and that's what's really going to turn the situation around. We just got to get better. You know, I mean, that's just a fact.
No question. And patience is very difficult when you see a game that's that frustrating. Look, I mean, you knew in your mind, you didn't let yourself believe that we would win the game today, and you're pissed off right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So imagine the folks that set themselves up and bought in 100%. Imagine how those people feel. That was a brutal game today. That was a really cruel game on our fan base.
Tony, let me ask you this, though, okay? Yeah, and I think this is a testament to how far we have actually come. Before the season, we were talking about if we go 6-6 and go to a bowl game, we'd be ecstatic. And we still have that left on the table. But, I mean, look at it now. We're pissed off because we're losing to Georgia and Florida. We felt like we should defeat them already in the second year. And at the beginning of the year, people probably thought I know most people didn't think we would even have a chance to be in those ball games. And now look at it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we've come a long way. We haven't turned that corner yet, but, you know, we're getting there. It's a process. It takes time.
That's a good point. Hey, thanks for talking me off the ledge, because I was seeing red today, ready to jump after the game. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Great talking to you, man. And it's a great – or Jay, I'm sorry. It's a great call. Again, I don't have a call screener today. Jason, I'll tell you a quick story. My call screener, I'm watching the game with him this afternoon, literally takes the clipboard that he's been using for our calls, slams it on the ground at the end of that game and says, man, I can't do this today, and walks out.
Hey, Tony, I'm at a tailgate. I get to the tailgate. There's a bunch of Gator fans that walks up. They walk up, and they're friends with someone who is at the tailgate. And they're high-fiving. I grabbed my chair. I said, I can't deal with this right now. I moved my chair because I didn't want to do something stupid.
Swainy in a confrontation. Swainy in a confrontation after the game.
I can't do that. I just couldn't deal. So, like, it took me a long time to cool down just to do this show with you, Tony.
Let me tell you this, though, Swainy.
I can see the headlines now. Former Vault Jason Swainy arrested after going ballistic on several Florida fans after the UT-Florida game.
Let me say this to you, though, Swainy. Swainy, this is food for thought for you next time, and I'm not advocating physical violence, okay? But if you took a Florida fan and just beat him unconscious, do you know how good that'd be for your radio show?
Be a hero.
Really? You think so?
Are you kidding me?
What
you need? I'm telling you, if you literally curb stomped a guy after a game, and you said in the press, "Look, this guy walked up to my tailgate after that game, and I'm raw, and I'm upset, and I'm mad, and I beat him down," our fan base would be going crazy for you, Swainy.
You think I'd just get probation for that,
Swainy? If I were you.
How about a fine? You think
go
I can get
back,
a fine?
Swainy, go back to the tailgate. Nobody's hearing us right now. Oh, go back to the tailgate and start something. Let's go back to the
phone. I don't see any Gator fans out here, man. Actually, I don't see anybody out here, to be honest. I'm just waiting on the traffic to go down. I'm getting ready to head out here myself. Everyone's gone, man.
Back to the phones we go. Next caller up. Hello, who's this? You're on the Smartway Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction.
Hey, Tony Smith.
Hey, MP, welcome.
Hey, I told myself before the game that Florida, you know, if they win the game, it wasn't going to alter my thinking of the program simply because we know it's a curse. I mean, it's absolutely a curse. However, I really didn't know Florida was that terrible. That is just an awful, awful football team. So I'm really, really, I mean, today was a huge strike against this staff. You got the ball twice on back-breaking Florida turnovers, great interceptions, and you come away with 3 points. I really, this Florida team could be worse than last year's Florida team. They're god awful. If Bama don't turn it over, you know, six times last week, they probably score 70 on them. And, I don't know, guys. It's just, you know, and I hate that, you know, I wanted to tell myself, yeah, this is just Florida, Tennessee. They're going to beat us no matter who plays for us and no matter who plays for them. But this was unacceptable. That game was almost won. I mean, you had a 9-point lead at home with the ball when 9 points seemed like, you know, 20 points because nobody was doing anything.
Swain, you there? Swain event fame.
Swain's taking a couple of Gator fans behind the woodshed right now. He's got
Swain
the steel
event's
chair.
Taking you up on it. Dubs, what do you have to say to somebody like MP who's as upset as he is? Go ahead, Russell.
I feel his pain, man. I mean, it's brutal right now.
So outside of time, MP, there's no remedy, right?
Not with this staff, and I think he's going to do a pretty nice job. I think he'll get players in here. I think Tennessee, you know, is going to be, again, competitive. But like Chuck made a good point, you know, he was kind of eyeing maybe next year competing. And I wouldn't say that I was getting that woolly, but, you know, I felt pretty good through four games this season. And another great point Chuck made was to sit there and allow Coleman Thomas to get ate up. That was worse than the Josh Tucker game in 99 when Alex Brown became a millionaire in 30 minutes for his play that day. Here's something else that's surprising to me. The formula to beat Florida in this rivalry is you have to outrush them. And, you know, I mean, it's like you say, you got a 235-pound tailback, get in the daggum I formation and run a little bit with it. But it was penalties early. It was stupid mistakes. And, you know, I really, really thought, okay, maybe Jones – can coach this game, you know, unlike Fulmer and Dooley, where they're real tight. And, you know, but to me, these players have bought into that we're supposed to lose to Florida. They played just like a Tennessee team played against Florida.
Oh, they were tight. Yeah, they were tight. Yep.
If Florida has any punch today, they murder Tennessee. If you know, if you could bring in, I don't know, okay, give me a team, Missouri. Tennessee plays the way they played today against Missouri. That's a 3 or 4 touchdown loss. So it saddens me that Tennessee took such a big step back today. And I think the hype and all the, you know, they're sitting there retweeting Little John and, you know, rising to the top. We got some great tweeting coaches. We do. We're probably got the best tweeting staff in America. And they're good recruiters. But damn it, it just don't. The results aren't here. This streak gets to, I'm going to say 17. My prediction.
You think this streak's going to go to 17 games?
Tony, I'm 40 years old. If God blesses me to live to be 80, I may see, I don't know, 3 to 5 more wins over Florida. This is, we're not supposed to be Florida. It's been written somewhere, and it's just not supposed to happen. But this Florida team, Dino is right this week. You'll never see a worse Florida team. They're garbage. And had they played well and beat Tennessee, then I could have rested in the curse. But they were awful. I mean, I can see how they lost to Georgia Southern. I mean, I really.
Oh, they're terrible. Now, there's one thing that Swain. There's one thing that Swain said all week on his show that I agree with. That was not a very good Florida team. That was low hanging fruit. That was a very beatable. Tennessee had everything, as he said when he came on with us today, in front of them for the script. The door was wide open, but they didn't walk through it. And it's on everybody. It's on everybody involved. It's on everybody involved.
Game out, and then you know you're 3-2. You're probably going to get to that bowl game. That's probably a goal. You close the game out. You're 3-2. You just got a monkey off your back. Now you're pushing forward. But, I mean, how can Jalen Reeves-Maven, who I think is the best player on the field, you know, go back in and go back to work, you know, with an offensive performance like that? Pretty soon, you know, and credit to Jancic, he's kept the defense, you know, very even keeled. But pretty soon, you know, I'm not going to say they're going to throw in the towel, but you'll start seeing the mental breakdowns. I don't know, man. It was Russell. You made a good point. Sitting and watching this game, I didn't enjoy one second of the game. Miserable. I will never watch another Tennessee Florida game.
Oh, come on, you
kid. I'm with you, MP. I've already decided.
I'm going to Sheetrock. I'm going to Chalkwood.
I'm going to a movie next year during the Tennessee Florida game.
I'll
DVR it. If they win, I'll watch it. Why put yourself through that?
It's brutal. I mean, it's not supposed to. You know, I don't know. But the big picture is the reason that, you know, obviously Tennessee didn't win today is, you know, UT Coach Jake, I think that's what he calls himself. And he's a good tweeter. He can tweet with the best of them. And, you know, he can talk about bricks and that sort of thing. But, I don't know how much common sense goes into some of this stuff.
Wow. Well, hey, listen, MP, I appreciate you.
It's just a
good tweeter. Good tweeter. You're really hot, aren't you? I mean, you're tore up. This thing really.
I lived in Florida in the mid '80s when I was young, you know, and they got those two wins in '84 and '85. So basically for 30 years, I felt this domination.
They own Tennessee.
Thank you, MP3. Yeah, it's been a long, hard 30 years. Swainy, you back with me?
Yeah. I'm back. I got to run here shortly, though. But
that's okay. Yeah. What do you say to a guy who's really on our coaching staff right now? Who's really like a guy like that who's just all torn up?
He's just emotional right now. It's okay. I was like that about an hour ago, man. I was ready to jump off the top of the NFL stadium. I was ready to fight every Florida fan inside. I was like that an hour ago. He's just emotional, Tony. It's okay. To say Jalen Reeves-Maven is the best player on defense is ludicrous. Cam Sutton is the best player on defense, no doubt about it. He could have had three interceptions today. He is a phenomenal football player along with Jonathan. Cam Sutton is probably the best football player we have on defense starting. He's going to watch the Florida game again. He's going to watch the Florida-Tennessee game again. He's going to watch it next year. It's not going to be 17 games. It's going to be okay. Tennessee's getting better along with Florida. Florida will get better when they get a new head coach. The crazy thing is Tennessee is getting better. Now I was sitting on the sideline and I looked over to my left and it's Khalil McKenzie sitting next to Shai Tuttle. It's Ricky DeBerry, a 4-star, 5-star type of player. Johnny Frazier, who's a Florida State commit, but I look over to the recruiting section. There's tons of players who are still interested in Tennessee. So how pissed off are you going to get when we're struggling and, you know, we're rebuilding, but there's players all over the country that still want to come here. And why? Because the coaching staff are tweeting and they're drumming up excitement. And that's part of it. That's what Tennessee needed. We're just emotional right now. And hey, it's understandable because I was too, but we all say things we don't mean when we emotional. And that's what we're doing right now, but they'll be back. They'll be all right. They should have won this football game. This is not a time to be happy because we got close. Tennessee should have been up 21-0 in the first quarter, first half. I mean, they were giving gifts from the offense. Defense played great. If I'm the defense, I take the offense around back and have a little talk with them.
Oh my gosh, Swainy on the way out. Promote your show. Where can they find you? All that good stuff.
Swain Event weekday 7-10. And SwainEvent.com, free app on Apple and Android. So call in Monday. I'm pretty sure it's going to be interesting.
Oh, gosh. Take care, Swainy.
All right, man. You have a good one.
Yeah, we're all feeling really interesting here. As I say, interesting. 865-200-5402. If you found us today, let me reset the table for you as to what you're listening to, and then we'll go right back to our phones at 865-200-5402.
It's time for another hour of power on today's game. It's the Smart Way Dalton Bearing Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction, where you are the star of the postgame. Presented without commercial interruption. The lines are open now. 865-200-5402. 865-200-5402. And now, it's time to get to your host, Tony Basilio.
Yeah, TB, that's me. I've got Russell Smith across from me this afternoon. And we're just kind of basking in the glow here as we've come to our third hour here of the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. And we're trying to process this. We're all trying to process this. Reed, is that you? All right. Yeah, this is we're all trying to kind of get through this. And what I did is I just introduced my segment, and I called the guest at the same time off the air, and you didn't hear it. That was not bad, Dubsy, was it? In your opinion, was that bad?
No, you got to be able to do several things at once in this business.
You do. You do. You absolutely do. Now, I will say that my friends at Reed Carringer from Football Time Mag tweeted out, gonna bring some hard truths when I join at Tony Basilio in a bit. Carringer is gonna lose it on the air. Swainy was about to have a melt. Swainy about whipped somebody. Swainy probably looked at that Florida fan and thought to himself, you know, it ain't nothing for me to whip somebody's ass. I'll get you right. You want to go? And then he probably thought, see, if Swain would have beaten down a Florida fan, though, Dubs, he becomes folk hero.
Is this the biggest collective Tennessee fan meltdown that we're in the middle of right now since the night Kiffin left?
Good question. Yeah, it's probably the most disappointing we've been.
It's not that bad, but
no, it's probably the most disappointing we've been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is...
It's crazy.
So many fans... Poor Bino, he took the cup off.
He did.
He's sitting on a bag of
Bino's
frozen
told
peas
me
right now.
He really is. Bino talked me, my on-air cohort on Fridays, talked me right into this thing yesterday.
You thought he would know better.
He told me before we got on, he said, you need to jump in today. You need to jump in with me. The water's warm. Get in here, Basilio. We're blowing them out tomorrow. And I looked at him and I went, God, how can I say no to those puppy dog eyes?
Didn't he coin the whole cup thing?
Yes. Yeah, he calls us Cup University.
He took it off.
Because he says you got to always keep your cup on, because whenever good things happen at Tennessee, you will get a swift kick right there. You got to keep your cup on full time. Now, before I bring
on it still hurts.
Before I bring Reed Carringer in here, and I think I've got a feeling that he's about to go off. Let me say that Smart Way is a presenting sponsor of our program, along with Dalton Behring and Hydraulics. And Smart Way online, ladies and gentlemen, at gosmartway.net. That's gosmartway.net. And they're your everything for home store, where you're going to pay your way. And when I mean everything for your home, I'm talking about your Knoxville's newest retailer of furniture, appliances, electronics, cell phones, even tires. And here's the thing about Smart Way. You can pay your way at Smart Way. What do I mean? Well, you can pay in full and walk out the door with it. Bang, there you go. You can choose 120 days, same as cash. Pay the cash price within 120 days, and boom, out the door you go. Or you choose a lease purchase, rent to own, in which you can choose your payment amount and frequency, and you can change your payment amount and frequency anytime that you want without the hassle of a new agreement. And that's why we call it pay your way. It is like changing on the fly. It is like Florida today inserting that freshman quarterback and bloating us out of that game with two scores, which made me ill at all accounts, and literally I will not eat dinner tonight. So that is what Smart Way is all about. And the smartest thing of all is this. All on-time lease payments, when you pay them off on time, you get 2% in-store cash credit that can be used anytime for what you want, when you want, at Smart Way. And in your opinion, is Ole Miss giving a pretty good account for themselves after getting screwed in the first half by the refs, Dubsy?
Yeah, they're hanging tough, but they're only setting themselves up for vast disappointment.
Well, that's really mighty optimistic of you. As I bring in, the mix and in the hunt now. Without further ado, Reed Carringer, who's got a few things he wants to get off his mind. Reed, hello.
Hey, Tony. Yeah, tough loss. I'm with you. I think this is the most meltdown ready Vol Nation has been since the night Kiffin left. That's an inexcusable loss. We did it after the game. Inexcusable loss. There's no sugarcoating it. You can explain it away. You can make excuses. You can play the youth card. Florida's terrible, Tony. Florida is terrible. And they look even worse than I thought they would look today. They're not a good football team. In fact, they're a terrible football team. And Tennessee somehow let them get out of there with a W, and that's unacceptable.
Where does the blame lie?
You know, and I'm not going to defend Bajakian's play calling. I think it's been suspect each of the last two games. But I we praised Bush right after the Georgia game for their recruiting efforts, and you could clearly tell the team was getting better. But here's the deal. Until they get a quarterback that's not below average, until they get a couple of stud offensive linemen in the recruiting game, they're not going to win a ton of games. And I mean, you're seeing that. Justin Worley entered this game the second lowest rated passer in the SEC, ahead of one Jeff Driscoll, who clearly looked like the worst quarterback in the SEC today. But Worley didn't look much better in the second half. Went 10 of 20, 80 yards, two interceptions on first down, Tony. It's a senior quarterback in the SEC that's played significant snaps the last season. Two interceptions on first downs in key situations, and a sack when he should have seen the blitz. I saw it. He didn't see it and held on to the ball too long and gave up a fumble. Three TOs in the second half for Tennessee's senior quarterback. My biggest question mark for this staff headed into the year was their ability to recruit and develop a quarterback. They've got below-average quarterback play both years, gotten better this year, but it's still near the bottom of the SEC. Until they can do that, you know, I don't think Tennessee is going to be very good. And they got to get some stud offensive linemen, too. Missing out on a guy like Drew Richmond really hurt.
Are you convinced that the reinforcements on the way in the next year's class are enough to fix the problem, yes or no?
At quarterback, I don't know. And that's the scariest part. And that's where I faulted Butch since day one, was his handling of the quarterback situation. Last year, I think we can all agree he bungled that in a couple of areas. This year, you know, they're still getting pretty bad quarterback play. He could be headed into year three. And, Tony, you get 3 years anymore in college football. Whether that's right or wrong is another story. You get 3 years, and I think he's going to be headed into year three with serious questions at quarterback. Even if Worley magically had another year of eligibility, I mean, that you're going to have questions at quarterback next season at Tennessee. And until they get those fixed, I just don't think Tennessee is going to be a contender in the SEC. Now, I think that they've got some areas to go there. Dormady, Juwan Jennings coming in, Dobbs. And I don't think Tennessee's quarterback play, honestly, I'm not hanging this loss on Worley, but I don't think it can be a lot worse than it's been. I know we were all ready to crown Worley as one of the best in the SEC after the Utah State game. I think you've seen him in big situations this year at Oklahoma today come up short.
You know, at the end of the day, a loss is a loss. We're all emotional. You're emotional. I'm emotional. There is no way, Derek, or there is no way Butch Jones doesn't get at least 5 years here, Reed. Now, come on.
I don't think he gets five, Tony, at all. I mean, I think he gets four. I think he'll get four, and I think he probably should get four. And I still don't. This game doesn't change my opinion of Butch Jones at all. I thought it was a poorly coached game in a lot of areas. It doesn't change my opinion of Butch Jones. One game is not going to make or break this coaching staff. But I will say this is the worst game this coaching staff has had at Tennessee. 17 games in, they clearly punted away a game they should have had. They should have beaten the Florida team. They should have ended the streak. That would have bought him and the staff a ton of equity, a ton of momentum headed into what's going to be a brutal schedule later in October with Ole Miss and Alabama. So it doesn't change my opinion of Butch, but it's going to be some tough sledding the rest of the season.
It is highly alarming, guys, that the two games so far that Butch has absolutely had to have, Vanderbilt at home last year, they had to have that one. Vanderbilt was highly beatable. Tennessee needed to win that game to make a bowl game, and they laid an egg, partly because of some coaching blunders. The fake punt call or the fake field goal late in that game was a horrible call. And then today, you know, they had a rival on their home field who was wounded, needed to win the game, and the coaches came up small.
Florida is alarming. I'm gonna repeat what Reed said earlier. Florida is really bad. They're not bad by Florida standards, They're bad by college football standards and Southeastern Conference standards. Now, Tennessee has a lot of issues. Tennessee would need about 4 years of counseling to get through all the issues they have and thousands of dollars. Let's go back to the phones. It's unbelievable that we're well into third hour. It is well into third hour. Let's get in the mix, in the hunt with our next caller. Hello, who's this?
Hey, it's Robbie.
Hey, Robbie, go right ahead, man.
Well, I just have a couple observations. The one thing that might surprise you, I feel no different about the team and our future right now than I did 24 hours ago. I called Russell's show, what was it, Wednesday, Russell, and I told you there is no way we were beating Florida with the offensive line that we have.
Yeah,
it was too big of a mismatch. And when we didn't score the one chance we had, because you've always got a chance, but when we let them hang around, and it brought into play the fact that those guys just had to make basically one play, and we were just our biggest weakness was matched up with their biggest strength on their team, the D-line versus our O-line.
I hate to oversimplify it. I mean, it's not because Tennessee's offensive line is terrible. It's not because Mike Bajakian called a horrible game. It's not because Florida came up in the. It's just Tennessee, Florida. Florida owns.
No, that's
yes.
Not.
Florida owns
no,
Tennessee.
No,
the Gators are
no.
Our daddy. The sooner you come to grips with it, the better off you'll be. It's just a fact.
Well, I mean, you had bought in. You can act like you didn't, Dubsy, but you had. You drank the Kool-Aid. You were just going, you know, you were picking Florida. But I can tell you wanted. You thought Tennessee was going to win. You just didn't know.
I thought they probably should have won, and I was proven correct. But I also thought that Florida would win because that's what they do against Tennessee. And, again, I was proven correct.
Yeah. I mean, it's just I don't know. We do not have an offensive line that can go toe-to-toe with. I thought Florida's front was better than the last two games. I mean, they've always got a really solid defensive line. Their best player was on the D line.
The thing that's really odd about our offensive line, and help me understand this, Reed. When are we going to get our tackle some help out there? Poor Coleman Thomas. God bless him. Are we going to help him? Are we going to sit there and watch us all year?
If you wanted to. Here's my thing. I don't have a ton of problems with the play calls per se, because I think Tennessee is extremely limited at quarterback and they're extremely limited on the offensive line. And we can discuss that more later on in a minute, but I don't have a ton of problems with the play calls. I do have a problem with some of the implementation of those plays, Tony, which I think is what you're getting at. They got to help on that side with Solomon Thomas. They do, and they didn't enough. There was a couple times too, Tony, where I saw Daniel Helm, true freshman tight end, and not a very good blocker yet. Ethan Wolf's the better of those blocking. They were counting on him to block Dante Fowler Jr. A true freshman tight end going up against what's going to be a top 15 or 20 NFL pick and a guy I think is going to have a long career in the NFL. That's asking to get murdered. I mean, that's absolutely asking to get murdered, and it costs him to see a couple of sacks. That's some of the coaching of things that I think need to be tweaked. They've got to max protect a little bit more. But I will say this, Tony, again, and to keep dogging Worley a little bit, but when they gave Worley time, he didn't come through. Last two drives, Worley had plenty of time, and he didn't come through.
I think the one person on the team that we couldn't lose to injury this year, we lost to injury in the first game. We lost the one offensive lineman, even though he started off as a walk-on, was the old man on the line that could have, you know, helped those young guys, you know, on the field.
I think he's going to play next week.
Do you really?
Yes. I heard that today.
Golly.
I'll say this. Jacob Gilliam is expecting to play next week. Now, we'll see if that comes through, but he is expecting to play.
You know, the biggest problem I had, we've seen too, and the only thing that reminded me of the Dooley years, when Jalen Hurd, you know, the TV didn't talk about it, and God knows the radio didn't talk about it. Once Jalen Hurd got dinged up, that's when I felt like the Jakin and those guys really crapped the bed. It reminded me of the last time when, you know, we were down in Florida when Justin Hunter went down.
Hey, Reed, do we know which shoulder that is? Is that the shoulder that Hurd had injured in high school a couple times? Do we know that yet?
I don't know. I will, while we're on the air here, I'll try to find that out for you.
Okay.
I don't know. I think everybody just like I thought everybody should have pumped the brakes a little bit going into this game. You know, they thought we were going to blow them out. I think everybody needs to you know, cap them a little bit before we completely freak out. So I don't know.
I think you're right because the thing is, Robbie, the rebuilding effort is still very much underway and it's still being done very well by this staff.
Yeah. I mean, it is, and I mean, and I guess in closing, don't get me wrong, it would not bother me at all if I found out that Will Muschamp got jumped by a gang of midgets and beaten within an inch of his life at Radiator. I freaking hate Florida, but, you know, this program was virtually destroyed. You might as well have given us a death penalty, and, you know, but the future still looks just as bright as it did, you know, 24 hours ago. You know, we just had a really bitter, disappointing loss to our arch rival.
Thank you, Robbie. Yeah, that's why I'm turning, the next time we lose a game like this, I'm turning the show over to maybe the guy that walked out of here and slammed his clipboard down and quit basically on me 3 minutes before we went on the air today. Dubs, do you have anything you want to add here before I go back to the phones?
Kind of in following up what we were talking about with giving Coleman Thomas some help.
Yeah,
things like that. There was a play in the first half. It was third and long inside Tennessee's own 10, where Fowler is lined up over Kurbison. You can feel over Kurbison, not Thomas. You can see he's coming.
Yes,
Hurd is lined up over there, looking directly at him. He's ready to pick up the blitz.
Yes,
Tennessee looks over to the sideline, gets the call. Worley walks up and changes the protection.
Sends him in motion.
Then Hurd,
exactly,
instead of picking up that blitz, runs to his right. And Fowler just owns Kurbison.
It was early in the game. It was early in the game, and that's a great point. Why are you changing protection there and pulling the guy off when you know you need help on that side?
You know Kurbison. What are you doing?
What are you doing? And by the way, to your point about Fowler and what a man he is, here's an observation for you. Did you see him run down our running back from behind on that one sweep where he had some room in the first half? That is a first-day draft choice. That's what they look like. Players at the top of the NFL draft, that's what those guys look like.
That was Jalen Hurd he caught, Tony.
Yes, that's what I mean. It was Jalen Hurd, and he ran him down.
That's a five-star, maybe Tennessee's best offensive player that he caught. I mean, that was unbelievable. And, hey, something to your point with helping out Coleman Thomas and something we haven't talked about a ton. You know, they could play Dontavius Blair this year, and they've chosen not to, Tony. And I got to practice every day. The whole team at RTI, we got to practice every day. Dontavius Blair helped this team this year, and they're choosing to redshirt him because he does need to get stronger, and he will be a better player, you know, if he gets stronger. But I'm not so sure it's the right move to play for the future when you could have him out there helping this team this season.
865-200-5402. We'll go back to our phones. This is your Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. And fan reaction thus far has been kind of interesting. In the wake of Tennessee dropping one to Florida today, that can only be called, in my world anyway, mystifying. Florida, a really, really bad football team that was borderline in the tank coming in here. And I will remind you that I had at least three Florida guests this week on the air pick the Vols to win the game, knowing what they knew about the Florida Gators coming into this weekend. And let me go back to our phones. And who's up next with us? You're on with Reed Carringer of RockyTopInsider.com. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Who's this?
Doug from Clinton.
Hey, Doug from Clinton. Welcome.
Thank you. My question is, why aren't we rolling out the quarterback to alleviate the rush? Takes the field away. Backside rush, maybe open up some space for receivers.
Go ahead, Reed, jump in here.
Yeah, I'd like to touch on that, Tony. I hate to be so negative about the guy that's going to have to lead Tennessee, I think, the rest of the season, but Worley doesn't have the arm to throw on the run. And that's why I'm not as fired up about the Jake and the game he called as a lot of people, because I see the limitations in practice. There's a lot they want to do. There's a lot they do with Dobbs at quarterback that they can't do with Worley. And he's, Worley doesn't have a very strong arm. It's just, you can't trigger code it. He doesn't. He's super inaccurate down the field. They have to go to the short passing game. And every time he throws on the run, it doesn't look great. Now, maybe they need to try a little bit more of it, but I've seen him throw some of the worst picks, in practice, the worst pick sixes you've ever seen when they've tried to roll him out. So it's not working in practice.
Great observation. Thank you for that. And I was going to ask, whose call is it when they have 12 or 13 men on the field? It's chaos and we're not going to snap the ball and give them a penalty. Instead, we got a penalty.
Well, we're in
quarterback
the,
or center.
Well, actually, we're in the Wildcat in that situation. If you go back to that,
okay. It's Hurd.
So it was Hurd there, but Hurd's not experienced enough. That's why when you go with that formation, you put a guy out there, you take the good with the bad. Now the good is they're completely discombobulated. What he's going to learn from this when they go look at that film is, hey, look, when you have an opponent out there, they have 13. You, first of all, you're getting a free play, so you're snapping that ball. Second thing is when you see a defense that's discombobulated like that, you better take advantage of it. And that is the Florida Tennessee series read in a nutshell right there, that play. That should have gone for a big gain or at least a penalty, and it ends up being a penalty on us. You can't make that up.
You can't. You can't. That was those plays were key drive killers. Tennessee had a few drive killers from penalties, and they came in, and this is where you get into the Florida series, Tony, and I'm not a big believer in superstition or anything like that, but the Vols tighten up. I mean, I don't think it's a curse. I think it's Tennessee tightened up when they see that Gator on the hill. I mean, there's no denying it now after 10 years. The Vols came into the game one of the least penalized teams in the nation, racked up 7 big penalties in the first half. First half, Tony, after averaging just 4 a game throughout the rest of the year. I mean, they tightened up, and Worley, after the game, talked to him for a little bit. He did say that was, he thought they couldn't hear Jalen Hurd's call. That's just terrible situation for Tennessee, and they botched it.
Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. It's 19 past the hour. We're coming up to about our third hour mark here. As I go back to our phones on the Smartway Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction, thanks to both of them for helping to put on this extravaganza. As we go live, as soon as the game is over, with you, just immediate, instant fan reaction. It's what we do here. We've gotten several calls on. We'll continue to do that. 865-200-5402. I will stay on here till the final call is heard tonight as we go back to our busy phones. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony. How you doing? This is Gary.
Hey, Gary. Thank you.
Sure. Appreciate you being here for us all today, Tony.
Thank you, Gary.
This is a very disappointing loss. I think we're still going to get to where we need to be, but it's just going to take longer than we thought, Tony, you know?
I would agree with that, and I'm not sure what today would have done. Today would have been nice because you would have had an opportunity to get a winning streak over Florida, because if you get them now, chances are you get them next year down there, and now I'm not so sure the chances are you get them down there next year, even with that extra recruiting class, because now you've got kids that are in your program who have been indoctrinated into this Florida thing, and then it becomes tougher to overcome.
Yeah, it was sitting right there on a tee for us to hit today, and just laid an egg. There in the third quarter, Hurd did not come in until like 4 minutes left. Was he hurt? Is that what I haven't listened to? Purposely tried to not listen to anything on the way home, and after the game until just a few minutes ago. Was he hurt? I mean, he did come back in and played later, and he did play in the fourth quarter. But it was just puzzling to all of us around us that why was he not playing until about 4 minutes left to go in the third quarter.
Yeah, he dinged his shoulder up, which messed with their rotation.
Okay.
In fact, okay. If you look back at halftime, Hurd had one more carry than Marlon Lane, and that certainly is not the way things were scripted to go.
Right, I agree. And the last thing I want to say, too, is I want to say something to the Tennessee fans. I was a little, I sat in Section E today, which was above the student section. And there at the end, I was very, very disappointed in our fans and what we were chanting. That was pretty classless. You know, we're Tennessee. We're supposed to be better than that. Win or lose, we need to be better than that.
What? Tell me what happened. Tell me what happened. No, 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 Gary, elaborate.
Well, it was just a big F you Florida, basically, was being said.
Ah, come on. I can't believe
you didn't hear that.
We're not Florida fans here. Well, I got to do this show as soon as the game's over, so I'm at that point I'm not there.
Yeah, I mean it was really loud and just really, really disappointing. I mean it was exactly like what you would expect from Florida fans
down there.
So
it's not necessary.
We got to be better than that, guys. Win or lose, we got to be better than that.
Thank you, Gary. Yeah, especially when there's kids around and that whole deal. 865-200-5402 is the number. Do you have anything else you want to add on the running back rotation, Reed, before I go back to the phones?
I was surprised we didn't see Darrell Scott back there. That's a four-star running back.
That's interesting.
Someone that was ahead of Marlon Lane in the rotation this week in practice. I was surprised about that. I was surprised that Hurd didn't get more look in the first half, like you said, Tony. And then that delayed handoff worked so well against Georgia last week. I think it would have worked today had they gone to it more, and they just didn't.
865-200-5402. What about a reverse when you have a team that's rushing up the field the way Florida was? What about something like that?
You didn't see any of those reverses, really jet sweeps, anything like that. And that's something that I thought was going to be a lot more of a staple of Tennessee's offense. I don't know if they, and that's where you can criticize the play calling. I don't know if they were getting a little bit scared and wanted to turn the ball over. But I think that's something that would have had some success today and something that I expected to see more of. So you can definitely critique the play calling there.
865-200-5402. Back to the phones we go. And hello and welcome to the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction.
Hey, guys. It's Dustin.
Hey, D.
Hey, you know, we can say Coleman Thomas all day long, but honestly, with the Blair kid over there on the sidelines, there's nobody that can tell me. I know that you got good sources that says they don't trust him, they don't trust him. This kid played 2 years in junior college. I can't believe for one second that kid could have came out there and done better than Coleman Thomas today.
Reed, you have a thought?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think Blair is, I watched him in practice and I've been watching him intently the last few weeks. And he's someone who could help this team right now. He could have helped them all year.
Let me ask you something. What about Kendrick? Kendrick was a guy who they went with, and then he apparently was second in the rotation or at the top of the rotation still. Why didn't we see him?
I don't know why they don't. I get playing a whole unit, Tony. I do. I get you want your offensive line to communicate well. You want them to know each other's tendencies. Jones, after Oklahoma, said that's the starting five you'll see. He stuck with that. But I don't know why they don't try a couple of those other guys back there. I don't. Maybe it's just because they value that consistency. But I think when you've got some guys struggling like that, you got to try some other hands. And I will say this, though. I know they gave up six sacks, but Worley held on the ball way too long. He did today. If that quarterback that was at Georgia was getting the ball out in a couple seconds, in 2 seconds or so, shows up today, Tennessee's winning right now. We're having a drastically different conversation.
Oh, absolutely. Again, I want to put this on the staff just for the simple reason, just like the Florida game last year, you have a coach that he's reactionary. He's the smartest guy in the room. He's the only guy who knows what he's talking about. Everybody else is stupid. That's the only reason you don't play the Blair kid. That's the only reason you start the Peterman kid down there in Florida. I mean, this guy, there's certain things he can do to help his team, and for some reason, he's just not going to do it. You know, I like Butch Jones, all the things he's doing on the sideline, but this guy's, I don't know if he's mentally inept or he doesn't understand what's going on. He still thinks he's at Cincinnati, because some of these calls is a direct reflection on his lack of game management. That was piss poor at best.
Every football coach that I've ever been around, and Reed and Dubs can speak to this, high school, middle school, it's that sport. Those are some stubborn human beings. I would hate to be married to any football coach because you will never win an argument. They might be the only people that win arguments against their wives while the rest of us are losing arguments. They might be the only ones that ever win arguments against their wives because they're all stubborn, and Butch Jones is cut from the same mold. Dubsy and Reed, go ahead, Reed.
No, perfect example today, Tony. The run was finally working late in the game, right? Tennessee was driving. They had a couple long runs in a row. It's second down and three. I think they'd run the ball three or four straight times late in the game, driving, chance to really win the game. They run the ball three or four straight times. It was working again, second and three. And what do? They drop back to pass after it's worked three or four straight times, and Worley gets sacked, puts them behind the chains, and they end up punting. If it, to me, number one rule of play calling on offense is if the defense isn't stopping it, you keep calling it until they do. And they finally got the ground game going, and they went away from it.
Well,